Only a limited amount of tickets are left for Family Night, which went on sale earlier this week. To discuss the anticipated event, we welcome host Drew Smith of Fox 11 in Green Bay. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Packers Family Night, which admittedly is a few weeks away yet, but we thought it was appropriate because tickets went on sale earlier this week on Monday, and thought the timing was appropriate to bring on Drew Smith, host of the event on Fox 11, where the event is broadcasted statewide in the state of Wisconsin and worldwide on their website, fox11online.com. We're going to talk about that with Drew Smith. I talked to him previously, a little bit of a recorded interview here, but sit back and enjoy as we talk some Packers football. Right now, we're talking to Drew Smith of Fox 11 in Green Bay, who I thought it was appropriate to invite on the show the week Family Night tickets went on sale by the Green Bay Packers. Drew, do you know how many years now it's been that you've been hosting Family Night?
Well, golly, we've had 18 years of Family Nights. Let's see, 17 actual Family Nights. This will be number 17. So it's been quite a while. It was my very first. In fact, I'd only been in Green Bay for about 3 weeks when we had the very first one. Me and Ray Rhodes having it. It was his introduction to everybody, and it was a lot of fun. We have kept it going, and it just continues on, even more and more popular as everyone loves the fireworks and all the fun that kind of goes on. And really, it's just celebrating football is back. I mean, that's really what it's about, and everybody in Green Bay for sure, and around the entire country and around the world online, we get people watching from all over the world. It's a lot of Packers fans from everywhere.
Well, you do a great job, and with tickets going on sale this week, do we suspect it's only a matter of time until it sells out?
I think so. You know, we've had sellouts in many of the years, and it all kind of depends on people's summer plans. But for $10 a ticket, you get to be at Lambeau Field. You can, buy your souvenirs. You can sit in the stands. You can do all that stuff. You see Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, and Jordan Ellison, and all the players that you love. Giveaways, you get the fireworks show. I mean, it's different than going to an actual NFL game, so it's a little bit of a different feeling, more relaxed, much more family-friendly. And like I said, 10 bucks a ticket. These things sell out pretty quickly.
Okay, so looking ahead to Family Night here, assuming there are no setbacks, that day represents the first time Jordy Nelson will take to Lambeau Field since his injury. Drew, do you think we're going to see the same Jordy Nelson we saw pre-injury?
You know, Jordy Nelson is an amazing athlete. And I like, for all of you X-Men fans out there, I liken him to the Wolverine because he healed like nobody I've ever met. You know, he had this horrible high ankle sprain one preseason about 4 years ago. And I'm talking to the team doctor preseason. I said, well, what's the deal? A lot of this time, it's a 6 to 8 weeks. He's like, oh, forget it. Jordy's back in three. Didn't miss a single game. And he was back early. And remember, he played the Pro Bowl and then got like his hip operated on afterwards and was ready for the preseason, the minicamp. I mean, he's astounding. Just to give you an idea, last January, I did an interview with him. Just as the Packers were about to start the playoffs. And I said, now, Jordy, August, you injured your knee. Could you, if you had known that you were going to be in the playoffs, and if there had been a category for it, been able to be ready for today's year? Well, I would have had to do the rehab a little bit differently. However, he said, I think that we probably could have made a really good go of it. I mean, that's 6 months later, not even. So now we'll be a full year on from the injury. I think he's going to be back full speed. You know, we played in the Jordy Nelson softball charity outing a couple of weeks ago. No knee brace, no restrictions. He said he's felt 100% for the last 2 months.
Okay.
So it's basically the team that has held him back.
But let's say, hypothetically, Nelson is back to 100%. Should this Packers offense as a whole be back as one of the most dangerous in the NFL if Jordy's healthy? Was he the missing piece from last year?
I think that there were two missing pieces from last year. One was Jordy and the fact that that moved people into roles they weren't ready for or comfortable with. Randall Cobb moved into a role he wasn't comfortable with. Devontae Adams was obviously not ready for the role he went into, and then the injury to him and to Ty Montgomery really upset the entire apple cart. The other part of this is Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy, at the end of the season, is very well known, was verbally slapped during the last press conference of the year by his head coach. He has worked hard in the offseason. I'm not as impressed with his body shape as everyone seems to be. Oh, look how skinny he is. Oh, he's probably dropped a couple of pounds. He's not where he wants to be. The question is, will Eddie be able to be effective at wherever he comes in? Will he have the fitness? And when we see that Eddie Lacy we saw in the first couple of years of his career, if that's the case, so if we're healthy Jordy, we're healthy Eddie, motivated Eddie, then I think that there's no question that this should be one of the top two or three offenses in the NFL. The offensive line is veteran. They have been together now for a couple of years, couple, 3 years. You've got some very, very talented pieces, some Pro Bowl pieces, and I think that that really gives you an overall look. You add Jared Cook now to the tight end spot, who was a down-the-middle game breaker and a bit of a field stretcher. And I think that this has a chance to be a really, really stunningly good offense.
All right, one more question about Jordy Nelson, and I figure you'd be the best person to talk about this more than anybody else. Will he be back for another season co-hosting Inside the Huddle?
He will be. Jordy will be back on Inside the Huddle. We'll have a preseason special coming up a couple of days before camp and getting ready for a new year. Randall Cobb scheduled to be back as well. So that's always exciting for the fans and for everybody involved, for sure.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. We're talking to Drew Smith of Fox 11 here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Drew, Brett Favre got some attention this past weekend after appearing at the PGA Champions Tour event in Wisconsin, and he talked about his upcoming Hall of Fame induction speech, and I guess I'm just throwing this out there. If you had to guess who you think will present Brett Favre this August, who do you think it'll be? Because he hasn't announced it yet.
You know, he hasn't. I think it would be, to be perfectly honest, I think the most appropriate person would be his wife, Deanna. She has been with him since the very beginning. She's stuck with him through his addictions, through his struggles, through his physical struggles, through his alleged indiscretions, to all those things. Nobody knows Brett better than she does. I think that would be appropriate. Now, if you're talking in the football world, you know, a Mike Holmgren or Frankie Winters or even a Ron Wolf. To me, you know, very often it's family members. I think Deanna would be, in my mind, the most appropriate because basically she has been what has helped keep him on the rails during his career to be able to get to where he was, especially early in his career when he went through all sorts of struggles.
Plenty of good guesses really there. I think we'll find out soon. Drew, what do you think of is going to come of the investigation into alleged PED use by Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers? That's gotten a lot of attention lately, too.
It has. The NFL is going to take a look at it. They're going to interview the guys. I personally don't think that there will be much that comes from it. It's you know, if you have seen the story, or those who have watched the story, and the one who alleged that they had used these things have since recanted. It was kind of a hidden camera thing, and so with Al Jazeera, which is has been an entire network that has had all sorts of problems also in the United States. My guess is that this is the NFL will take a look at it. I don't think it will be something that lingers. I think they'll take care of it in training camp, and I think that they'll be able to be able to get through that. Now, that's logic speaking. You know, when was the last time NFL anything was logical, particularly when we're talking anything legalese or PEDs? But I personally don't think that there's enough smoke there for them to continue too deep an investigation, unless they find something else out that corroborates that we don't know about yet.
All right, big picture here. As the season approaches, what are expectations for the team this season? Is it a Super Bowl or bust kind of year?
I think it's always that for the Packers fans, isn't it? What I really wish Packers fans could do would be to enjoy the season. For me, I have always looked at every season as a separate entity. And is it enjoyable? The ebb and the flow and it's entertainment. If you watch Game of Thrones, you like this season. Well, I thought season 3 was pretty good, but season 5, wow, that was really good. That's how I look at it, because it's entertainment. That being said, I think that fans have high expectations, and I think that this team should have high expectations. They've got Aaron Rodgers. They've only got him for a few more years at that high, high level. To me, in the next 3 years, anything less than Super Bowl appearance should be a disappointment. I mean, 2 years ago, other than a third-string tight end making a bonehead play there in the Super Bowl, a couple of other things, they would have had more than one with Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson, but you can't control all those little pieces. You hope that things will fall their way and they get back into the big game this year.
Drew, before we let you go, with training camp just around the corner here, can we anticipate another nightly training camp report at Fox 11 this year?
Yes. Your training camp reports will actually start 2 days before camp starts. Just get this leading up to family night, and we will do, with the extra week of preseason, we'll do an extra week of camp reports. So for those of you who are in the viewing area in the Green Bay afternoon area, that you can always catch that during our 10 o'clock hour from 10 to 10:30, and with me, Johnny Gray, and the other members of the Fox 11 team.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Drew, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us today. Appreciate your insight, appropriate with family night tickets on sale this week. So we've had you on before. We'd love to have you on again, and thanks a lot.
Brian, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Drew Smith of Fox 11 Sports joining us here for an interview at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue on with the show. And by the way, according to Fox 11, only a limited amount of tickets remain for family night. So if you haven't got them already, they are going fast. I anticipate they will sell out. They have the past several years. So if you want them, grab them now. And we'll continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers for presenting Marcia Clark as one of the only new candidate to join the team's board of directors this year, which will be voted upon during the league's shareholders meeting on July 21st. The Packers actually made the presentation of Clark official just a few days ago. Clark is a clerk of court for the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Western Wisconsin. But not only that, she is a black female with experience in the military. So kudos to the Packers for their progressive choice to add to their board of directors. Now, technically, we won't find out if she's voted in until the shareholders meeting, but with pretty much everyone in the organization voting by proxy, it's a given she'll hold the post in less than a month's time. So good luck to Miss Clark. And I just want to start off my comments today with that, a very progressive choice by the Green Bay Packers organization. But there are a couple other items I wanted to touch upon on today's show that came from a press conference with Packers president Mark Murphy, I believe this past Friday when they released their annual financial data. And the reason it's taken me several days to get to these comments is that the organization didn't post this press conference online like they typically do with those by Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. So I've been reliant on other media outlets such as ESPN.com and the Wisconsin State Journal to publish these quotes from Murphy kind of at their own leisure, you know, in articles published over the past several days. So one item I wanted to pass along is it's an interesting one. I have a few here. But the Packers have considered hosting a college bowl game at Lambeau Field, according to Murphy. It appears as if the Packers want to host at least one large-scale non-Packers event at Lambeau Field every year. This year, that's going to be the Wisconsin-LSU regular season college football game in September, the season opener for both teams. You know, last year it was the Kenny Chesney concert at Lambeau Field. And so, you know, one large-scale event being held at Lambeau Field every year. What's in store for next year yet hasn't been made public. But inferring from comments by Murphy, what the Packers like is an audience that's largely non-local for these events, these non-Packer events they want to host at Lambeau Field. The ticket holders have to travel to Green Bay, meaning they're spending a bunch of money there. Now, obviously, the Packers make a bunch of money, you know, from Packers games, and fans come from everywhere to those games, but there's also a very large local audience in the greater Green Bay area that sleeps in their own homes on game days, that eats their own food. So they like these games, they like these events like concerts and college football games because they make money with a larger percentage of out-of-towners than you know would be for a Packers game when there is a great amount of people in the Green Bay area that come to games. Certainly not exclusively, but obviously a lot of people in the greater Green Bay area own tickets to the Green Bay Packers, and that's where a large, you know, contingent of the fan base will come from. Murphy also indicated the Packers have been in talks with the Big Ten Conference about potentially hosting the league's conference championship game at Lambeau Field. He wouldn't say much more than that other than to acknowledge that they've talked. Nothing appears imminent at this point as future Big Ten championship locations are already scheduled for Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis years in advance. But if you're wondering about the college bowl game scenario, I do also know this that I can, you know, talk about here. The NCAA has placed a moratorium on new bowl games, meaning the Packers aren't going to create a bowl game anytime soon, you know, like the New York Yankees did by hosting one at Yankee Stadium. The NCAA had a little egg on its face this past season when they had to make exceptions for teams with losing records to qualify for bowl games. There's actually a rule out there like, you got to be like 500 or better to make a bowl game. But they made so many bowl games that the number of teams, you know, with losing records, they had to be allowed in, which kind of led to this moratorium on creating more bowl games. So, you know, as far as the Packers' angle here, it's possible an existing bowl game might move sites or something like that. But that's all I can think of right now because the Packers aren't going to create a bowl game, you know, like the Yankees did, or I believe the Detroit Lions are actually owners of the bowl game that's played there at Ford Field. You know, obviously these are beginning stages here, but I just thought that was worthy of a little bit of comment here, something that's come to light in the past few days via comments by Mark Murphy. Finally, Murphy also acknowledged one avenue the NFL is examining is the double-edged sword of both shortening the NFL preseason and lengthening the NFL regular season. Again, here, nothing is imminent, but Murphy said the NFL has considered going to one fewer preseason game and adding one more regular season game. So that would generally mean three preseason games for every team in the NFL, except those playing in the Hall of Fame game like the Packers do this year. I imagine they would still play four, but you know, as you know, the Packers play five this year. That's not typical. Only two teams play that extra preseason game every year for those that participate in the, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame game. And then that would also mean 17 regular season games, which is obviously an odd number. But the way the NFL would get around figuring out who would play an extra home game and who would play an extra away game was pretty simple. He said every team, if they went to 17 regular season games, every team would play one international game per season. So that extra game would essentially be a neutral site game. Nobody's getting an extra home game, away game. It's neutral site, you know, nothing added. You know, there wouldn't be any, you know, an extra game at Lambeau Field or anything like that. So we know, of course, the NFL has been playing games internationally for years in London. This year they're going to do so in Mexico. We know the NFL, according to Roger Goodell, has plans for a game in China some point in the future. And so this could be one avenue for the Packers to finally play a game overseas because they haven't been willing to sacrifice a home game to do so. And as we saw play out here this year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, we thought actually 2016 maybe the year the Packers finally play a game abroad because, you know, Jacksonville is one of those teams that, you know, has agreed to give up one home game a year for several years running to play a game in London because they don't draw particularly well in Jacksonville. But, you know, of course, they even if they do play one international game a year, they still have to play seven more in Jacksonville. And, you know, with the Packers coming to town, the Packers are such a draw nationwide. You know, everywhere the Packers go, those teams know we are going to sell a lot of tickets. Even if we don't sell a lot of tickets to other games, when the Packers come to town, we will. And that's why the Jacksonville Jaguars have not been, you know, really, weren't really open to giving that game up as an international date. So the Packers have, you know, one of the few teams here really that has not played overseas, and there's no time in the foreseeable future in which they will, unless maybe the NFL finally goes to this. I mean, we are looking here a little bit in the distant future, but, you know, it's always fun to speculate what might happen, what will happen. That's pretty much the point of, you know, talk radio, sports talk radio, sports podcasts. It's like the one thing people most interesting about what's happening next. People don't like to linger on the past and you know, don't like to rehash that. But everybody wants to kind of speculate and find out and what's next and want to be the one who correctly predicts the future, I guess. So we are looking, you know, far down the road here, into the crystal ball a little bit, because, you know, anytime these things do happen, it probably is going to be part of the, have to be part of the NFL's next collective bargaining agreement, and, you know, in which they do these things. And there's still something like 5 years left on the collective bargaining agreement. So it'll be a while yet before anything happens, but just interesting that, you know, these things came to light this past week, via comments from Packers president Mark Murphy, letting the cat out of the bag a little bit. But I mean, he readily acknowledged, you know, nothing, these things aren't happening right now, but could in the future. But that leads us into the next and last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
You know, I've honestly got nothing on the horizon here in the world of the Green Bay Packers in the next few days in this pre-Independence Day time period. Like I said, Independence Day is the deadest time on the NFL calendar. But I will say this, for those who are share owners in the team, keep a lookout in the mail for your yearly, you know, mailing from the Green Bay Packers. Mine came yesterday, and I imagine many others will get theirs in the coming days as well if you haven't gotten it already. But it tells you about the shareholders meeting that takes place in, you know, mid to late July. I believe the date's July 21st. It has your tickets to the shareholders meeting in there. So if you want to go and attend, don't just, you know, throw that out as something that comes in the mail and it goes right in the garbage bin. If you want to go, your tickets are in there. Tells you how to vote your shares by proxy, that, you know, you can do it most easily online, but you could also phone them in, or you could even do it in person at the shareholders meeting. There's all sorts of ways you can do it. So there you go. Look forward to that. That's the one thing, and that's, I know, is kind of happening here in the next few days of the Green Bay Packers, but that's honestly about it. With no practice happening, with no games happening, that's the most we've got for the moment being here in the off season of the Green Bay Packers. But that'll do it for today's show of Railbird Central. Looking forward to Friday's show. Actually have the guest all lined up. We're going to be talking to Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports. We actually had him on the show last year, right around the same time of year. Buchholz covers the Canadian Football League. It's the one form of football that is actually going on right now. The Canadian football regular season has started. So I thought it was appropriate, you know, when the NFL isn't playing, we can actually talk about a little bit of football that is, and talk about some Green Bay Packers angles within the CFL. So looking forward to that on Friday. So we'll do that then. The show airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, typically at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always, as usual, if you could do us a favor, the one small thing we ask, the show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating, pardon me, and a brief little review. We don't expect anything long, but would greatly appreciate if you do that as kind of a favor for the free podcast that we believe is the best on the Packers on the internet. And we ask this because it helps get word out about the show, helps us get a bigger audience, which we'd like, because we think this is the best Packers podcast out there. So thanks, folks. Thanks to you, those that have. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, folks. We'll see you Friday. Have a good Wednesday for the time being. I leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.